says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. He said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Tonight I just want to open up and talk to you about something that is very common in all of our lives that we share. We may not share the same house, the same car, the same land, but one thing that we do share is that we all must go through some form of temptation. Yes. We all must be faced with something. Yes. That when push comes to shove, and it comes right down to it, that the very fiber of what we believe is challenged. And it may be in something that somebody says to you, or it may be a circumstance that causes you to be weak, but at some point in time, we will be tempted. Hallelujah. When Jesus was tempted of Satan, Jesus was led of the Spirit away into a fast. And a lot of times, it's hard for us to even fast one day. But Jesus had been put into a state of denial that exceeded far what man could even accomplish on its own. And by the Spirit only could you ever do a 40-day fast. By the Spirit only are you ever going to deny yourself. How many of us know that? You can tell yourself that you're not going to do this and not going to do that and think that it's going to prosper you, but only through and by the Spirit of God will you ever do a straight denial in the depths of your heart. I'm here to remind us today that we're all tempted in this world. But how many of us know that the battle is not in the temptation? The battle is what we will say when we're tempted. Many of us have given up along the way here and there and have had to turn back to God and say, forgive me for coming short. And many of us have been provoked to wrath and been frustrated with what's going on around us and got just down in the circumstance. Maybe quit church for a little while, or maybe look down upon people because we didn't get the help that we wanted to. And Satan is using every little bit that he can to work on each and every one of us. But how many of us know tonight but what we read, that there's only so far that the devil can come? There is only a certain amount of temptation that's going to be able to be heard by man's ears before the anointing and the Spirit of God, through self-control and denial, will be able to rise up and say, it is written. I want you to know that Satan can only tempt you in three ways. That's all he had to throw at Jesus. That's all that he had. And some of us need to realize that tonight. That's all the devil's got. He opens up and begins to talk to Christ and says, why don't you just go ahead, if you're all powerful, and speak to that stone and make it bread? Now, I don't know about you, if you were on a 40-day fast, wouldn't food look mighty good? Wouldn't it look wonderful to have if you've been saying, God, I'm not going to eat, and I'm not going to eat, and I'm not going to eat? How is it sometimes that it's just the very thing that we're tempted to give into?
Yeah.
That in our weakness, we feel like will bring comfort to us. And Jesus in that moment did nothing more. And this is what stirs me. Than to speak the word of God. that each and every one of us already know.
Yes, amen.
And though we're tempted by many things in life,
yes,
we have got to remember, church, that it is written,
yes,
that we will not live,
yes,
by bread alone.
Amen.
Even if Christ would have spoken,
yes,
the stone of bread in that moment, it would have brought him no pleasure.
Yes.
And sometimes even when we give in to something we feel like will make us feel better,
yes,
or feel comforted,
yes,
or feel like it has closure,
yes,
it will not produce the same amount of life that it would if you would stay and steadfast in the faith of God. And I know tonight that when we face hardships, that the one thing we want to do is lay down or get it over with. But God has sent instruction in this place to remind you that when you're tempted out of this battle of life, to use the word of God for your advantage,
amen,
and to speak life,
amen,
unto your situation.
Yes, amen. Amen.
Oh,
Jesus.
Tempted in weakness,
yes,
but by the word of God we're made strong.
Yes, amen.
In our weakness,
yes,
hear this, church.
Yes, Lord.
When you speak the word of God,
yes,
Satan can only come so far.
Yes.
So even just in weakness, he said, man shall not live by bread alone. We're not going to live by our natural self. And we're not going to be able to make it on just living right. But it takes being led and drawn by the Almighty Spirit of God. I'm going to be the saddest for times. I was ready to give up. And times that I was ready just to stop preaching. Because when you see so much torment on people, it's hard to find the strength to say that, God, I know you're able to deliver in this world. But if anybody is ever going to stand up today and be more than just a building and more than just a sign on the building, there's going to have to be something that lives inside you. That's more than just a song. That's more than just a feeling. But faith to know that when we speak His word, that the devil must win. And he cannot stay where you speak the word of God. And I'll celebrate tonight to know that though I go through things in life, when I speak God's word, there's not a time that the devil has not had to turn loose. And sometimes we need to speak over our children and say that it is written. It is written tonight that God is a deliverer. It is written tonight that Christ is our salvation. It is written tonight that by His stripes that we are healed. It is written tonight that we will not live by the nature of what we were, but we'll live by the breath of life that was breathed into each and every one of us. Don't think that you've got to have the preacher to speak the word of God. The very day that you profess Christ to be Lord and Savior of life, the Word of God came alive in you. Even before somebody maybe got you your first Bible and had it engraved with your name, and you called out on God, there was something that was placed deep down inside. For all of us, no matter who we are, and where we're at, when we're tempted, that we have what we need to overcome. I don't want anybody to go out of here tonight deceived. Satan's trying to deceive us like there is no way out. And there is no hope for people. And there is no hope for tomorrow. And he wants us just to dwell in fear of actually speaking the word of God. But you would be surprised if you would just try for yourself. Word of God says try the spirits. How many of you are in the spirit and you speak the word of God over your life? Don't tell me that you wouldn't come alive and know that God was with you. I know that He's with me right here in this place tonight. Then the devil took him on top of the temple. So why don't you let your angels take care of you? He was tempting him in the worst state of weakness. And Christ once again
spoke that again, he was establishing it. Again, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So who is it that the devil is going to tempt? It's us. It's man. It's the fleshly nature. It's that inside of us that would want to succumb to pleasures of the world. So when Christ said again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God, then he decided he was going to tempt the flesh nature of Christ. So he took him to the highest mountain of the land where he was and said, take a look around you and see everything that's here. Man, I feel God. There's so many people that's given in at the high point of the mountain because Satan has painted them a pretty picture. Oh, church, we need to be concerned for them and be able to speak the word of God to those that are unknowing to what's ahead. They start out growing up not necessarily knowing the temptation will be so hard. But if we prepare our children and prepare our loved ones for what is ahead of them by reminding them that Satan can only come so far, but if you have Jesus, you've got everything you need to be able to endure. See, we're given in the temptation very often because we're looking to our strength to bring us through it. But none of our strengths is going to come through anything. Our fleshly nature is to fall, to give air. We get weak. We need rest. We get hungry. And we need meat. We get thirsty. And we need water. In other words, we're a needy people. But through the Spirit of God, through what Christ has performed in all of us, we have exactly, somebody say exactly.
Exactly.
We have exactly
what
we need. Do not think tonight that you are ill-equipped or don't have enough. You might hear somebody shouting to the Lord and having a good time, but I want you to know that though they may rejoice, they're tempted the same way that you are. Don't look at any minister and think that when they go down the road that the road is easy. Hallelujah, I want to remind you that we're all tempted the same way. We all put our pants on the same way in the morning. We all get the shower the same way. We're all unclean. But through and by what Jesus has done for all of us, we're going to be able to endure this world of darkness. You will fall to the cares of life, and you will fall to the weakness of your flesh, or you'll go after the riches of this world. But if you trust in Him, know that the Word of God will prevail. There is no weapon formed against you that will prosper. Your enemies will be at peace with you. You'll be able to come in and be on fire for God instead of trying to fight for the fire. First chapter, 12th verse, it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall what? Receive the crown of life.
Amen.
Oh, I used to just see that as a picture of a crown upon my head. As if you had arrived somewhere. But let me tell you what kind of lordship that happens when you get a hold of the crown of life. You are then an heir. You understand? You are then an heir of the Son of God. You are then an heir of the Most High God. And you have the crown when you overcome what God has equipped you to use against the devil. Can we be real tonight? Can we get real plain tonight? Oh, I'm so tired of coming into dry places when God has equipped us with more than enough to be on fire. Oh, hallelujah. I'm so tired of giving in to the devil and saying, well, this is as far as the service is going to go, or this is as far as I can preach tonight. They don't look like they're enjoying it, but I'm reminded tonight that it is written that if you don't get the word of God right now, it calling anything and anybody.
Yes.
But I want us to examine ourselves and say, Lord, am I giving into your spirit?
Amen, sir.
Am I giving into your presence? Take a moment right now. Just close your eyes with me just for a moment.
Bless you, Jesus.
Everything that you're facing, I want you to just get it on your heart. Don't hide it. Don't sweep it under the rug. And I want you to speak over this the devil is trying to work with you on with me. Come on now. Get your heart in a place where you can sincerely say this with me. Now let's speak over this trouble and say, it is written. Oh, somebody's getting a hold of it. See, when you really take a look over the horizon, the mountain only goes so high. But God ascends higher than the highest mountain. I want you to look at your trouble. I don't want you to see that there's no way out. Tonight I want you to see the way of escape. I understand that everything that we face is to help us to grow. Say to grow. It's to help us to grow. Oh, the Word of God says that He would not suffer us to be tempted above what we could bear. So what does that imply? There's going to be temptation. If anybody's ever told you that once you get saved and on fire for God, that it's all roses and daisies and green pastures, they've deceived you. Because life's going to be like when you leave the church house and you feel the anointing lift off of you and you're walking in your life and the first thing comes to try to see where you really are with God.
Amen.
Somebody's been here. To try to really see if we're going to speak faith or just say, you know what, I can't do it. And I was hooked on drugs so bad, I didn't think I could get off. And you got to understand, there's no worse feeling than feeling helpless. The best illustration that you can have of helplessness is considering the rich man that lifted his eyes in hell. Oh, he was saying, tell my brothers, send word. Help somebody that they don't need to go there. There was no greater helplessness than somebody that was already feeling the heat. And I'm telling us tonight, if you feel helpless, that while you're still breathing, and while you have the opportunity in the house of God to take a stand and take authority over the devil and say, devil, it's written. And God is with me. It is written that He will not leave me nor forsake me, but be there with me all the way until the end. Somebody needs to hear this tonight. He will not suffer you more than what you can handle to speak the word of God.
If we feel anything hard,
it's God. Why? If we feel anything rough, it's where we're not where we should be. And we'll go and pray amiss because we're not realizing what God is presenting to us an opportunity to do.
Yes.
Tonight I'm walking in a lot of things that would try to cause me to be tempted to fall. But I want to really live and understand the verse that says, blessed is he that endureth temptation. There is nothing. Say nothing. There is nothing impossible with God. And God put it so much in a perspective that we can understand. And so that we would really get a hold of faith. He said it was but a small thing. My God. Everything that we face, it's nothing God cannot handle. How do we begin to fight a fight that we think we cannot fight? What must we do to begin to grow as a church and as a body of believers? The first step is to separate yourself into a wilderness. And I'm not talking about just climbing up in some mountain here and there. But I'm talking about getting yourself away from the crowd. Getting yourself away from people's opinions and presenting God an opportunity to speak to you so that when you hear his voice,
yeah,
it will cause you to speak the word over your trouble. Our loved ones sometimes can cause us the most trouble. We're often looking for a thief to come and steal our goods. Our loved ones can say two words to us, and we're just done for the week. No prayer, no word, no dwelling in the anointing.
Come on,
Ted. Or if the preacher preaches it too hard, then he's out of the will of God, because nobody's going to mess with my stuff. But I'm here to tell you that God's teaching me not to tippy-toe on anybody's toes. Because if we don't start preaching the word like it is intended to be preached, there are going to be more people fall into temptation. Listen, there are people out there that's growing up without church and without Christ in their life that are sometimes a whole lot better off than those of us that know the word of God and suffer for what we know. You see, you suffer because you don't use what God has placed in you. I've heard all my life that he will not leave me nor forsake me, but it didn't mean anything until I felt like I was forgotten. And then I spoke over my life and said, God, I know you're there. God, I know you hear my words. God, I know you see my tears. And I never felt alone again. Don't let loneliness overtake you.
No.
Listen, that's three simple things that Satan tempted Christ with. But how many of us know that we as men often fall at the weakness? Before we're ever tested in faith, before we're ever tested to be tempted of the world, we're tested by our weakness. So if you're feeling weak tonight, I encourage you. Oh, I feel God. I encourage you. Oh, to step on in to the anointing.
Yes, amen.
And I'm going to be real plain about this. I don't care what you have to do to get there.
Bless you, Lord.
I don't care what you got to do to get there. If you can get yourself to a state of unconditional surrender, and your heart is open before God, you will hear Him speak to you.
Amen.
Oh, we come up with so many conditions. Well, God, if you deliver me, I'm going to serve you. Unconditional surrender means, God, I'm coming to you irregardless of everything going on around me. Oh, so much. Oh, so many are falling through our fingers because we don't come in ready in unconditional surrender. We'll wait for somebody to sing, and if we feel a little something, then we'll get up and be blessed for a few minutes, sit back down, and are still just as weak as we were before we stood up, because the Spirit of God is not just to feel, it's to bring you into a place where you'll speak the word of God. Somebody hear this. It's not just in what you feel, but it's what you know in the word that's going to bring you out. Listen to me, there's nothing that can stand in your way when you feel God. You speak the word over the dead. I'm ready to preach now. Oh, we're grown-ups in here, right?
Bless it, Lord.
We know God, right?
Bless it, Lord.
Let's read in verse 19. Step it up a notch.
Bless it.
Wherefore, my beloved, listen, if we don't get a hold of this today, it don't matter what comes tomorrow.
Bless
if we don't make up our mind today during the day of salvation,
yes,
or in other words, in the moment,
bless it, Lord,
then what comes ahead of you, you may not be prepared for.
Amen. Amen.
Listen, just because we went to church and tithed and we love pastor and we shake everybody's hand and love everybody does not mean we're ready. I grew up in church all my life. I went to Sunday school. I heard the word of God be taught to me. And I understood what it was. And I even went to the altar and called out and was saved. But I was not speaking the word of God in my life at all. At all. And I was young. And I wasn't prepared to deal with the pressure. And I wasn't prepared to deal with when all the friends that I grew up with and played ball with all decided all at once to just toss me away. And I'll tell you that when you're in a pit of loneliness and weakness without somebody counseling, without somebody encouraging, hallelujah, church, hear this,
Without somebody encouraging those that are weak, they're going to fall. And if we don't start coming in here determined in the Word of God, so that we're able to not only get our being good, but to speak life over somebody, that if they get a hold, if you can just get a hold of it for once, if we can just get a hold of what God's trying to say, we wouldn't have to come in and ask 20 preachers to preach revivals to already know what God has already done, what He's going to do, and what He's going to bring us out of. You wouldn't even need all that. We wouldn't need all these devotional books and all these things on the radio. We wouldn't need anything if we just realized the Word of God that was in us. There are people, and I've read about this, third world countries, they don't have the gospel on TV. They don't have a K-Love to listen to all the time. They don't have other brothers and sisters. In fact, they have nothing but the faith that comes in through those that are ministering the Word of God. There's sometimes language barriers. There's sometimes barriers of poverty. But where the Word of God is present, as given by the Spirit, doesn't matter what nationality they are. Doesn't matter where they've been. God's Word still saves. Whether you're in a third world country or whether you're just down the road. We've got to begin to take God's Word and make it worth something. There'll be times when you're lonely and you remember that God will not forsake you. And when you speak that in your heart, God's Word only brings what? Life. You begin to put on a crown of life. I speak your life or faith to things that are not as though they are. So if you feel bad, don't go telling 20 of your friends that you feel bad. Speak the Word of God over them. And the healing may come right then when you said it. And if you don't, say it again. Oh, hallelujah. And if you don't feel it, then say it again. And if you don't feel it, say it again. The Word of God will prevail. Listen, if you can put it in perspective, 40 days of a fast, you realize that that is the weakest state that you can bring this body to. And when you get there, if we don't have the Word of God, you can hear all the preaching in the world and not hear a word of it. Well, what do I say, God? What do I say? How do I pray? What do I do? Many feelings that we may have in our heart. But let's read on. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. We're going to talk to frustration right here and now. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So let's break that down just a little bit. If we're upset, we're not going to live right. Righteousness is rightness. Or living right. Living godly. And when you have wrath in your heart, or you're frustrated over what you're not seeing yet, or what you've not been paid yet, or if you're looking at something and it causes you to discourage, and you are in wrath over a circumstance, I want you to know that we cannot live right that way, because it causes us to be irrational, and it causes us to say things we never would have before if we were dwelling in the anointing of God. And listen, there are so many conversations that we can take captive, whether it's on the telephone, text message, email, or Facebook. We can take authority over a whole lot more of what the devil is trying to say to people to tempt them away. If we would just be yay, yay, and nay, nay about God's Word and speak it plainly and let somebody know that, yeah, we're a Christian. Yeah, we go to church. And yes, we believe the Word of God.
Amen.
Never work anything good for you. Wrath will never work a good thing for you. You can be frustrated and try to take authority over the devil when you're frustrated, and all he's probably going to do is just laugh at you, because he already knows if you're not speaking the Word and you're not speaking the only thing that will defeat him, hallelujah, that we're just going to fall in our own frustration. The Bible talks about a woman. It says there's hardly nothing worse than a woman being scorned. But how many of us know that if you connect that in the Word, that that's talking about the church? There's nothing worse than a church that's scorned in frustration, because you're not being a witness to those that need to hear the Word of God come out of you.
Oh, I've been there.
I'm going to be real with you.
I've been there in the seat before. And started hearing the singing of the saints of God. And I'd be thinking about everything that was going on in my life. And just think, well, God, I know maybe your strength will come. And just not find the willpower to be able to get up and worship the way that God wants to empower me. And then you begin to hear preaching and it just feels like that a boulder is just thrown on top of you. And you don't feel like you're worthy to do anything. And hallelujah, the next time you come to church, you're back down on the seat. And you feel defeated because you just let everything go last week. And maybe in the middle of the week, you said some stuff you shouldn't have. And maybe you doubted God like you shouldn't have. And then we come back another week. And if we continue to do this one by one, the devil is causing us to fall in simply the temptation of our weakness. I want you to know that if we don't start using the anointing of God as it is appointed, that God's not going to continue to bless here and there. God can leave a place. He left with the veil still up so people would understand that there was a need for something more than just atonement every now and then, because we fall so much and needed more than that. And by what Christ did for us, He gave us the means to have access. Yes. Somebody open up your mouth with me right now and say, Lord,
Lord,
you have that privilege.
You have that privilege.
Oh, because.
Thank you, Jesus.
Of what Christ did.
Amen.
Oh, you could have said, Lord, back in that time, and it wouldn't have been nothing. It wouldn't have been nothing. But by the suffering of what Jesus did.
Yeah.
It gave power to our lips.
Yes.
That when we feel Him greatly, that you can speak the same word that He spoke then. Oh, I'm telling you, I feel the veils coming off our eyes tonight. Satan can only tempt you here and there. So if he's not tempting you in the flesh, don't let him get you looking around at what surrounds you. But be you separate. Dwell in his anointing. And every time you'll come to
him. Amen.
Amen.
Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with what?
Meekness.
Hear this tonight. The engrafted word. When God started this message in my heart, He started me on that verse. The engrafted word. I want you to picture with me tonight, walking outside somewhere and finding a stone that we could write on. Perhaps let's think about Moses when he wrote the law on the stones, what we know as the Ten Commandments. He went to a stone and received the Word of God and began to carve out something that they could go back to and read. Or in other words, what they saw was engrafted. It was laid upon a stone. It was written upon something that once you put the marks in, that it could not be removed. How are you going to come tonight? When I'm in my hardest valley, I look down in my heart and I read the engrafted word that Christ put in there, and I realize that I'm saved today, and I'm going to be saved tomorrow, and I'm going to be saved the next day. And no weapon formed against me will prosper. It will be behind us. In there. That's the great news about it. If you know God, the engrafted word is in there. It's in there. Somebody say, it's in me.
It's in me
tonight. The engrafted word of God, somewhere down in there, is unlocked by what? Faith.
Amen.
Faith. Faith, even as small when we can't see it. Understand that faith is not in relative to size. It's relative to how small that we sometimes feel that it's in ourselves. And oh, man, on my knees before God, I just can't go on. I just can't go on. And do you know that if we're dwelling in God's anointing, we realize somewhere that we cannot be defeated.
Bless you, Jesus.
Well, let's get to the end first and work our way back. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, how many of us know that when everything that we've faced in life is over, and we draw our last breath, that we're going to a place where we will not take temptation anymore. You can't praise God for that.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
we're in trouble.
Amen.
There's a place that we're going.
Yes. Yeah.
Our eternal home.
Yes, amen.
Lord. There's a place we're going where we won't have to sin and sorrows. We feel like that nobody understands. We feel like that the church done forgot about you and done forgot about what you're going through. Oh, there's a day coming, Lord, these illnesses and everything that is taking our loved ones ain't going to matter no more. There's a place that we're going, church, where the devil has no dominion. And don't you know the same thing? Got your salvation.
Yes.
It's the same ticket.
Yes.
It's going to bring you through temptation.
Yes.
The same grab the word. It's going to bring you out. It's going to bring your children out. Somebody, yes, praise God. I'm sick of the devil beating us
here.
I don't care tonight how many times we come in with the same old crowd. If God is no different, and our access is no different, then the way that we can find the peace of God is no different, why would we count the value of a service any less than the next? God's teaching me. Though I may be in the middle of my life right now, I'm blessed just to get here.
Amen.
I'm blessed with an opportunity to be separate. Do you know to not forsake the assembly of yourselves together? It's not talking about getting in the building. But it's talking about unity in God's spirit. How many of us know that? How many of us know that? So you could only have two people, but if you don't forsake each other and encourage each other in the edifying and the exhorting and the prophetic word of God, you'll both be ready to face anything that's out these doors. Well, I'm going to wait till that preacher starts preaching what I like before I start standing up and praising him. You may not make it to next time. You may not make it to the next time. That temptation, man, I feel God. I know why God sent this word. Some of us are just being comfortable in what we feel and comfortable in our surroundings. But I want you to know that the devil is out there as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour or seeking whom he may tempt to fall. And while we're sitting around questioning yourself as if we have no knowledge of God's word, that loved one that needed you to love them, needed you to sow into them, needed you, oh man, needed you to be on fire for God, continues to be susceptible to what is out there. I know this is going to sound strange, and I love each and every one of you tonight. But God did not call us to be friends. Just listen, a friend's going to let you down. God didn't call us to be friends. But He called us to be brothers. Or in other words, a bond that goes stronger than friendship. It's a bond that is given as holy by blood.
Amen. Bless it, Lord.
And if God saves you, I encourage you by the same blood that I'm covered by.
Yes.
To be reminded that we are not a defeated people.
Amen.
Oh, that we're not forsaken or forgotten.
Amen.
But that God is right here. Yes, all the way out. Right here.
Amen.
God don't change for nobody.
That's right. Amen.
And that's the wonderful thing about Even at 13th Street, we'll go through hard things. Go through dry seasons. And you can preach and preach and preach until you feel like that you must have fell away from God because nobody's getting a hold of you. But when it comes right down to it, we have to work together. Not as friends, but as a family.
Yes, amen.
It's my every belief that not everybody on the day of Pentecost was 10. Because listen, sometimes even your family can give you trouble. But we're not talking about an actual family, are we? We're talking about something that when the blood was applied, all things about our old nature are behind us. Is this good tonight?
Amen.
Everything that we were involved in.
Yes.
Everything that we were.
Yes.
Every fear.
Yes.
Every doubt.
Amen.
Every insecurity.
Yes.
Every feeling of just flat out worthlessness.
Yes.
Lord.
Amen.
And it says, behold.
Yes.
All things.
Yes.
Are become new.
Yes. Amen.
Like when God saved you, what you know, He engrafted
yes.
His Word
yes.
in your heart.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Oh,
bless it, Lord. Bless it, Jesus.
He wrote something down in there that the devil could not take from
yes.
you.
Amen. Amen.
And if you just learn to dig deep in the depths of you by faith, believing the Word of God
yes.
as you would say it, not as preacher would say it, but as you. In unconditional surrender.
Yes.
Christ spoke of unconditional surrender as cast your cares before the Lord.
Yes.
Or in other words, cast what is important to you. Just throw it. Get rid of it. Let it go before God. Another word in Romans says to confess. In other words, do not hang on to what is tempting you to fall. But cast this trouble, this worry, this fear,
amen.
This attack of the devil
yes.
before God.
Yes, amen.
And why would we even get to do that?
Jesus.
It says, cast your cares before the Lord. For He careth for you.
Yes.
Each and every one of us, as we believe, we make up our mind and look in the depths of our heart. I know that if you're seeking right now this word as it's being given, you know deep down that you're not defeated.
Yes.
You know deep down that this is the end. Mm-hmm. And if you need anything, there's two
yes.
things that I can recommend that work in my personal life. It's where I came from, mm-hmm. and it's where I'm going to.
Amen.
I don't know what I'm going to face today,
yes.
but I'm encouraged by what God saved me from.
Amen.
And I am empowered
yes.
to know where my destination
amen.
Is.
Yes.
God has put us all here to love one another as a family.
Amen.
And if we forsake that, we are neglecting ourselves.
Yes.
When we don't assemble together in the Spirit of God, as it's referring to, our churches will fall. Everywhere you go, there's been at least a 50% or more decline in members.
Amen.
It's a national statistic. And a lot of people think, well, if we throw more money at things, it's going to solve it. Or we put in more programs, it's going to solve it. Or if we sing the new songs that's on the radio, it's going to solve it. Or if we get this preacher out and put another one in, it's going to solve it. But what it comes right down to is that you never need to talk about nothing to do with the problem of a church unless you can speak it from the Word of God. There are no new problems today that didn't exist in God's Word.
Amen.
Satan only had a few things he could throw at Jesus.
Yeah.
And here's what I'm going to close with. When you read in verse 11 of the 4th chapter of Matthew, I believe it's verse 11, it says, then the angels
yeah.
came and ministered to him. If you can just press through that. Man. If you can just make it through some things. God's Word even said it like this. If you'll be faithful
yes.
over a few things,
yes.
I'm gonna spending a little bit. If you be faithful over a few things you're going through, I will give you dominion over many. How does that work, Jerry? Well, you see, when I came through drug addiction, I realized, well, God, you're a delivering God. And if there's other things that I'm being tempted of, I have dominion over that as well.
Amen.
For he who desires to set free is free indeed. So if God can bring you through just one thing, it's going to empower you to be able to realize the devil, you may be coming in another place, in another form, and saying the same old thing, but I'm not going to listen to that song and dance any longer, because God's brought me through it already. My God, he already brought me through it once, and if he did it then, he'll do it again. It may look different, it sound different, but it's always the same. It's going to tempt you away from what you know God has engrafted in your spirit. But in closing, but as I close tonight, the angels came and ministered. And I'm telling you, it's great to repent. There's no greater feeling than feeling God's mercy and grace work. It's a good feeling. But you know what's even greater than grace? Is there such a thing? Yes. Greater than grace? It's when you feel the very attribute that lives in you. That will be the only thing that leaves this world to go where God is. When the anointing, the comfort of the Holy Ghost begins to work in you, when you finally make it, then some of us are right in the middle of it. If you just speak God's word to it, man, I feel that. You speak the word of God to it, and you're going to feel the comfort.
Yes,
the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And you're going to feel God's comfort work in you. So that when he tries to come another way and paint you a different picture, that it's not going to work anymore. The devil doesn't work anymore. God sent this word to this church to realize whether you have many or few, and whether you feel heavy hearted or on top of the mountain, that God's Spirit will cause the word through your faith to come alive, that when you speak it and come through some things, that the comfort of the Holy Ghost will cause you to be amongst a great cloud of witnesses. That if they not forsake each other and work together as one body of blood-bought believers, that those that are in need, they will be saved. Just those that call upon the name of the Lord, the same shall be saved.
Amen.
Go ahead and stand with us tonight. And I want you to know that I believe in God with you and speaking over that. So you can pray where you are. If you want to come and pray, the altar's open.